It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks. Hello, Get Book listeners. A quick note from yours truly, Jen, before you get to hear this week's Hansel interview. Due to wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey-ness, this was planned to air after the author's publication date, but it's actually airing slightly before. So you'll hear it before the book is officially out. But the nice part is that the book comes out on September 6th, which is just a handful of days after this comes out. So it's not, you don't have too long to wait. Apologies for the confusion, and please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to The Hansel, where interesting people tell us about books that they think that we should read. I'm Jen Northington. I'm coming to you from Book Riot. And today's guest is Carolyn Huynh. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, Jen. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you could join us. So you're from California. You studied journalism and human-centered design, which I might need to hear more about in a minute. and you have been inspired by your family's history as Vietnamese refugees, as well as your stories. So this is your first novel. The Fortunes of Jaded Women is your very first novel. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm almost 33. Like, my publishing journey has been really rough, and I'm just so grateful to be here at this moment to celebrate this with you. You're my first podcast.
Yay! So I'm so excited. I love that. I love that. Okay, wait. So for a second, tell me what human-centered design is.
Oh my God. It's funny. Like, I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but I don't even know either sometimes. it was like my graduate degree, and I was trying to make it as a writer post undergrad, and I just needed to start making money. Mm-hmm. And so I began to look up coding boot camps and user experience design. And so I just sort of had to pivot in my late 20s, mid 20s, and I just pivoted into tech. I'm like a product designer during the day.
All right. That is, yeah. I think, a very relatable journey. First of all, writing is a really tough business, and it does not historically pay very well unless you're, Stephen King or something. So, it makes total sense to me. It does sound interesting. Tech can be, fun in its own way. And also, getting a paycheck is nice too, right? So,
yes. It's nice to have some stability for once.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, and I'm glad that, it left you with enough time to write, clearly.
It did. Yeah. Fortunes took me, oh my gosh, this is probably the third book I've attempted to write I wrote Fortunes in my late 20s, and it took me 5 years to write and 2 years of publication. So it's been a long time coming.
All right. Well, you made it.
I did. I'm here.
You are. You're here. All right. Well, let's take a quick sponsor break, and then we're going to get into some book talk.
It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
Okay, so I got so excited talking to you about your bio and your book that I forgot to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners, like as a reader. So what's your sort of reading vibe?
Oh gosh, I'm kind of just consume like everything. I started off as a young child getting really into like fan fiction, and I even like wrote fan fiction as a child, so I really hope that stuff never surfaces in like the light of day again. I think I wrote like Harry Potter like queer fan fiction or
Amazing.
something. Yeah, I think I like shipped like Sirius and James. Yeah, like it was like something like I don't remember what I wrote back then. But yeah, and so that sort of like, obviously I went deep into like YA for a long time, like fantasy. And but now like, my reading bookshelf is just so my bookshelf in general is just like so broad. But I really love reading works from like women of color, like BIPOC authors. I especially love like sort of like that sweet spot between like literary and commercial. And I'm a sucker for book club fiction books. I just started getting into romance. Like I think I didn't understand romance for a long time, but I realized I was reading it anyways. I really got into like Helen Huang's books, like this portion is what like really introduced me into it. And I think because I saw myself and my family in them that I began to understand like the power of romance books. And so I would also love some great recommendations. I just got into and like Emily Henry books. And so I'm just like a big sucker for any sort of like stories about women, motherhood, those are like complicated relationships, which I believe is like a deep well that you can like, it's never ending pool of stories.
I mean, I hope so because I agree with you. There's so much to tell out there, and there's so many great authors telling those stories. So, yeah. Well, this is, I feel like I understand your book a little bit better now, actually, having read it and then having heard what you love to read. It all makes sense to me. But your picks, the books you picked are super interesting because I think, there's like a dark edge to a lot of these that I'm excited to hear you talk about. So let's get into your first pick, which is a Book Riot favorite also, The Vegetarian by Han Kang. Tell me about your experience with that book.
Oh my gosh. Like I read it, oh man, maybe like 7 years ago or something. I really cannot remember, but it was like one of the first books that really turned me into that sort of like kind of like that darker side, but like a little bit lighter. And it reminded me so much. I was reading through it and it was one of the first books that really reminded me of my mother. I'm obviously not Korean, I'm Vietnamese, but my mother actually went vegetarian like 20 years ago, and it was a big deal at the time for my family. And so I love that sort of like control of women and how we eat, and like how the way that she portrayed it is like the way you eat is like for the family, and how you go against that tide, even though it's like. And I remember like my mom went turn vegetarian for like Buddhist reasons, and like Buddhism, I mean, I hope I'm getting this correctly, this is how she explained to me. But in Buddhism, like you're supposed to make like one big sacrifice in return for something else. And so she gave up meat, like eating meat for like her two daughters, like me and my sister, so we could have like a good life. And so like reading this book, and like I remember a time like my dad was like kind of upset that she gave up meat because Vietnamese people love meat, right? We love eating pork and all this stuff. And so it was like I remember thinking at the time like what's the big deal, right? And like reading this book, I'm like, what's the big deal? But there's such a dark undertone to it that I just like it was the first time I really saw my mother in that way.
Isn't it amazing how books can do that, right? Can like completely reframe an experience that you've had, your own self.
Yes. And it's so like it has such great commentary about the control of women too, and like a family, and like their place in the family. And yeah, it was just really haunting. I still think about that book a lot. I always think about that book.
I remember, I mean, obviously, we've talked about it a lot on Book Riot, and there have been some really interesting conversations around the translation of that book as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff there. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Do you feel like it's influenced you at all in your writing?
It has. Yeah. I mean, you read Fortunes. It's a bit on the letter side. Like I touch on like some things. Like, obviously I don't really like books about the Vietnam War, but you kind of have to touch on it like a little bit.
Sure.
And like set the tone a bit, but I really wanted to write something just a bit more joyful.
Yeah.
Especially for Vietnamese stories, which I feel is like quite rare to read in fiction. And so like it did influence me that way. And like I just almost like these books are all again like quite like again that dark undertone, but yes. I really wanted to like pivot slightly away from it, even though I love reading it. I am consumed by it. Yeah.
That's so interesting. I mean, we need all of those stories, right? We need the dark ones, we need the lighter ones, we need the joy, we need the catharsis, right? We need all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about your next pick then, which is a new one for me. So I'm excited to hear you pitch it. It's The Last Story of Mina Lee by Nancy Joo-yeon Kim.
Yes, I love this book. I caveat, she did blurb for me for my book.
Okay.
But, you know, like I had already read this book before she blurbed. It's just one of those things, again, you know, I'm such an avid reader that I really have been looking for books that really mimic my lived experience. And it's been so far few in between that when I read this book, I was like, oh my gosh, like she's lived a life that I'm living now. Like, you know, I lived in Seattle for 10 years before I moved back to LA. The opening chapter is, you know, it's about the daughter doing a road trip from Seattle back to LA, just to see her mother. It's just like, and then there's so many like parallels, like her and her mother in the story, Margot and Mina. There's like a English or a language barrier between the two of them. And, you know, there's a language barrier between me and my father where like my Vietnamese is not perfect. My mom has like a graduate degree in English and my father never really finished high school. And so his English is like not that great. And so whenever I talk to my dad, there's like a huge gap, but like not a lot of people would understand that.
Right.
And so I think it was just so touching for me. And I remember I cried reading this book because she has a hard time speaking to her mother. And, you know, it's just like shows another kind of like quiet side of like the immigrant or like the first generation experience, like another hurdle that we have to kind of like go through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, this has just occurred to me right now as I'm listening to you talk, I feel like there are so many great, complicated mother-daughter or like parent-child books out there right now. Like, I feel like I see more and more of them every day. And I mean, you've written one as well, but yeah. I think it's so interesting. It feels like it's something that is easier to find now than it. I don't remember reading those growing up or even in my 20s, really.
Yes, I actually was just talking about this to somebody, and I think it's because like we all kind of grew up. And so now like the art that we're writing and producing is the stuff that we've always wanted to read as, you know, like when we were younger in high school or whatever in college. And so I feel like there's like a mass surge.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, there's not like enough yet, but I think there's like a surge now. Yeah. Of like people coming out of the woodwork and like telling like these type of stories, which are like so important to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, especially as you've said, for something like, you know, the first generation experience where there's not just, you know, generational differences, but there's cultural ones, there's environmental ones, there's linguistic ones, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's just so like, there's the well goes so deep, you know,
yes.
There's so many. Yes.
Yeah, it really, really does. It really does. I think I'm going to lead us right in then to talking about your book, because it just feels so correct. So Fortunes of Jaded Women is very much about these incredibly complicated parent, child, mother, daughter in particular relationships. And you have written, like you wrote in your bio that you love messy women. So tell me about that. Let's start there.
I think, oh, I love, yeah, I really like women. And then you can see actually in most of the books that I've selected, it's always like about like a messy woman
Yeah.
or some form or the other. And I really like stories about women who like go against the grain. And it's funny because like even if you go against the grain, like you're perceived as messy, even though like you're really just making, like if a man were to do that stuff, he wouldn't be called messy,
Right.
right? And so I just think it's like really interesting that term messy woman. And so I really wanted to like give back that narrative to these women. And I feel like a lot of like, like stories about Asian women in like mainstream media is like they're quite like polished.
Yeah.
I just have always noticed like they're always like quite like, high powered executives or very wealthy women. And I really wanted to just highlight, just kind of like normal Vietnamese women. And that in itself, yeah. And I also like pulled a lot of experience from my 20s. And I wasn't just messy. I was like a slob. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was like eating from like the pig trough or whatever you call it. Like, I was like real messy. And so I really just wanted to like highlight that those that decade for me
Yeah.
and for like what I saw with like my friends. Like, just like that, and Vietnamese American culture is very, what's like, it's people like we like drag each other a lot, we like roast each other a lot, and it's quite like it's just quite chaotic. And so I really just wanted to like highlight that sort of like jovial experience, even though it can come across as like kind of mean to other. People have
Right.
said like some of the dialogue can be like quite cutting to each other, but like they're
Yeah.
just showing a different way of like love. Yeah.
Right. It's sort of like you're exploding that model minority, image is what occurs to me hearing you talk about this.
And like I know it's like a ton of characters. It's like, oh my God, it's like even I don't even it's like I think like over 14 like women characters. But I really, that was really intentional on my part where, I really wanted to display like we're not like a monolith. Like there's so many different aspects to everybody. And like, there's a Vietnamese girl who's like a Korea boo, obsessed with Korea. There's like
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I no. I it was very natural, but I like realized I want to read rewind for a second here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a sponsor break and then we're going to come back and talk about this some more. So let's rewind for a second because I realized we just like jumped right in. And what would be like, what's the elevator pitch for Fortunes of Jaded Women? Because then I do want to talk about all of these different characters that you have. But first, let's do the elevator pitch.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I've always been so bad at like the elevator pitch, but it's really just about a story about an estranged Vietnamese family living in Orange County, and they come together because of an infamous Vietnamese psychic's prediction. Then she gives three predictions for the year. There's going to be one pregnancy, one marriage, and one death in the entire family. So all the women have to come together for better or for worse.
That's great. That's a really good elevator pitch for what I feel like is a very sprawling narrative, right? So it's like you said, you have like 14 POV characters from different generations. They're in different locations. They all have different relationships with each other. And like you were saying, right? They have very different lived experiences. So like how do you have like a board with all of them on it? Like, how on earth did you keep track of all of these characters and their very particular personalities?
I'm like I said, like, in my 20s, I was like so sloppy. I'm still quite sloppy in my linear, like my writing process. Like, I'm not linear,
Okay.
and I kind of just like pantsed it. I know it's a
Wow.
horrible thing. Yeah, I know it's a horrible thing to say, but like, I didn't really keep track. It all just like lived in my head,
That's
and
amazing.
my editor alone at the time, like, she is the one that really helped like hone it in. She was out there on the, what do you call it, the rodeo, the lasso. What's that? Like, she was like herding all the sheep and herding all the turtles together. Yeah, like I just used like four different metaphors all at once, but yeah, she really like helped like I mean, she's a great editor and she really helped hone it in. But
That's
yeah.
still very impressive, though, to be able to, because I mean, they all felt very, they did feel very distinct to me, right? Like they all clearly, like you said, yeah, one is just obsessed with K-dramas and, you know, Korean culture. And then, you know, other one is a stoner, like one is a high-powered executive. Like they're all trying to find themselves, but in very different ways. And I really love that. I really loved, it's like a kaleidoscopic sort of view of what it's like to be, you know, a Vietnamese woman. It's as you said, it's not just one thing.
Yes, and I know this is gonna make a really weird comparison, but I really almost wanted like a Game of Thrones kind of like thing where like
Oh.
they're all there's so many characters, but they all don't interact with one another until
Right.
the very end. Yeah. And so I just really wanted something very similar to that, where like you're rooting for them to come together somehow, some way.
That's fascinating. That actually sort of leads me to another question I had for you, which is, you know, there's some elements of like, shall we call it superstition or like folklore
Yes.
or magic even in here. Did you have like, did you know exactly how that balance was going to work, or did you have to try to find the balance between like, you know, contemporary and historical actual life versus these? Well, I guess I shouldn't say actual because this is very real for some people.
It is, yeah. And like, you know, obviously my parents are extraordinarily Vietnamese, like very Vietnamese. And like growing up, I remember when I like someone called my mom like a witch because she had like long black hair. You know what I mean? Just very like witch-like.
Yeah.
And so I began to like see my mom in like that kind of light. And she's always very like spouting like strange like platitudes at me. You know, like that was very like witch-like. And I'm like, what are you saying? And so that's sort of like where I got that idea from. But also like Vietnamese people are very superstitious in general. Just so superstitious. And the again, the story is about a famous psychic in Hawaii who makes three predictions for this family, and that is based on the real life psychic in Hawaii,
Okay.
where she's super famous within the Vietnamese community, where like you know mothers fly out to see this woman in like I won't say which island, but she's very easily Googleable.
Okay.
And I hope she doesn't like come after me. But I did based off of her, and you know, like that sort of like I even saw her myself like in 2018,
Okay.
2017. So,
Wow.
you know,
Yeah.
that sort of like that lore that, you know, people really hype up in the Vietnamese community and like that larger than life figure is all part of like that contemporary life mixed with like superstition.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's true. And it's, you know, I mean, you know, witchy stuff is extremely of the moment, I guess, right now, and has been for a hot minute. But obviously there's long cultural traditions here. And yeah, who among us is to say what is real and what is not, right? I really do believe that's down to each individual person.
Yeah, I agree. And I really wanted to like, yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I really just wanted to like blur that line between reality
Yeah.
and like, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how it evolves over the course of the book. Like it starts off and you have one very specific idea about what's happening to these women. And then by the end of the book, it shifts hugely. And I love that you did that as well, without giving any spoilers, but I love that shift. So, well, since we don't want to spoil anything for folks who haven't read the book yet, you'll just have to wait for interviews and future podcasts to find out all of those things. So let's talk about your last pick, which is also new to me, Elsewhere by Alexis Shatkin. Hopefully I said that correctly.
Oh my gosh. I consumed this book in a day. It's a brand new, I think it's her second book, and it's quite different than her debut book. It's a more like speculative lit, but this book it's a brand new pick because I just read it like 2 weeks ago, but I cannot stop thinking about this book. It's just about a story about a small town somewhere up in the mountains, and once you have a child, mothers will randomly disappear up into the clouds. And they don't know. It's been compared to like Shirley Jackson a little bit, which I totally agree with. And it's almost like a weird, like, vampiric element to it, with like this like blood pricking ritual that women do when they have sex with their husbands. I don't know, it's just so strange and so bizarre, but the writing is so like, it's so watery. It's like I'm floating in water as I
Ooh.
read her work, and I just got so sucked into the story. I really recommend this book. It's an easy read too. I think it's only like less, maybe 300 pages or two. Oh no, it's 200, around 220. I'm looking at it right now on my desk.
Yeah.
But it's a short read, but it'll like engross you.
That's I'm really struck by the description of it as watery, like you're floating. I've never thought about it before, but I absolutely have books in my own life that I could use and will now use that description for. That's so like you're just like carried along.
Yeah, you carry it along, and like sometimes the tide is so strong that you kind of like get, you know, closer to shore, but then you get pulled back out. It's interesting. I'm telling you, I finished this in a day. It's very, very good. It's so good. You have to read it.
All right, it's going on my list. It's going on my list. This is the problem with this podcast concept because, every time I talk to somebody who's passionate about books, like, of course, I'm like, well, now I have to read all of your picks. Like, if I haven't read them already, I have to read them now. I'm gonna have enough books until, like, the year 5000. So, it's fine though. It's fine. Yeah, and this, again, like, we've got a like a dark sort of undertone about motherhood here. So there's definitely, we definitely have a theme.
Yes, there's a big theme, and I'm not even a mother, so I don't know why I'm like so into like these books, but yeah, I just enjoy it so much. Actually, it's actually a big trend now, I feel, books about like
Absolutely.
motherhood.
Oh
Yes.
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're really struggling with what it means to be a parent in, pandemic times and times of political upheaval in, all of these great uncertainties. And also, families are don't all look the same, and relationships are really complicated. And I like we were saying, that hasn't really been explored that much prior to what feels like to me like maybe the fa past 5, 10 years in, popular fiction. So I think it's great. I'm super on board with all of these explorations. I think it's there's a lot to talk about. As you said, the well, it's very deep.
Yes, I just give me all of the books.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for coming and recommending books to me and to our listeners. So where else can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on like Twitter, so just at carolynkhuynh.com, and same, it's the same for my Instagram too and
Okay.
my website, so just carolynkhuynh.com.
Awesome. We
This has been
will.
so fun.
Yay. Yeah, we'll definitely link to that in the show notes. People will be able to find you. Yeah, and again, thank you again for coming in and sharing your favorite books with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you for being my first
Yeah.
podcast.
It's our pleasure. And of course, thank you all for listening. As usual, pretty please send us your feedback at getbooked@bookriot.com. If you would like more book recommendations, you can always get those at bookriot.com. You can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. And as usual, also please leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, wherever. We'll take it all. And you can find me on Twitter and Tumblr as Jen IRL, JennIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And we will talk to you next time.